The U.S. Supreme Court issued its ruling this morning on Arizona's immigration enforcement law, SB 1070. The court upheld the provision requiring a police officer to make a reasonable attempt to determine the immigration status of someone who's been stopped. But the court has tossed out three other provisions, including those making it a crime to not carry so-called alien registration documents. From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. On this Fronteras Desk special, we'll get reaction to the court's decision from across the Southwest.
People of color are going to be subjected to greater police questioning, if they don't have a driver's license.
We don't want illegal immigrants to think they can come to Arizona and just exist indefinitely.
We'll find out how the ruling impacts undocumented immigrants and law enforcement officers. We'll also discuss whether it accelerates the possibility of federal comprehensive immigration reform. The Fronteras Desk special on the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling on Arizona's SB 1070 is next. Stay tuned.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. The Supreme Court is out with a mixed ruling on Arizona's immigration law. The justices left intact a provision dubbed "Show Your Papers," requiring police to check the immigration status of people stopped for other violations. Eliseo Medina of the Service Employees International Union says his rank and file is not pleased.
We are extremely disappointed that they upheld the "Show Me Your Papers" provision. We think that that is clearly a violation of human and civil rights, that it will, in fact, lead to racial profiling.
The justices did strike down other parts of the Arizona law. President Obama signaled a mixed reaction to the decision, which also blocked provisions that make it a crime for immigrants to work without a permit, to fail to carry documents, along with a provision authorizing police to arrest an immigrant suspected of committing a deportable offense. The justices also ruled that a life sentence without parole is unconstitutional for juveniles, the 5-4 decision consistent with others the court has made, as NPR's Nina Totenberg explains.
This is the latest of a number of decisions dealing with punishment for juveniles, severe punishment. In 1975, the court struck down the death penalty for juveniles. 2 years ago, it said that you can't sentence a juvenile to life in prison without parole for a non-homicide. This case questioned whether you can send a juvenile to life in prison without parole for a homicide. And the court said, and this is a little difficult to understand, but the court said, you can't do it as a mandatory punishment.
NPR's Nina Totenberg in Washington. At the end of this week, the European Union will hold its 19th summit since the Greek financial crisis began to undermine the single currency 3 years ago. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli reports the meeting follows last week's summit, where EU leaders explored options for saving the euro.
A mini-summit of the German, French, Italian, and Spanish leaders was held in Rome, but no breakthroughs were made. Germany's Angela Merkel held firm to her rejection of pooling debt or issuing eurobonds. She did agree to a growth package, but all it will do is redirect existing EU funds. On Wednesday, the eve of what is being touted as the crucial EU summit, French President François Hollande and Germany's Merkel will hold yet another pre-summit in Paris. Meanwhile, Spain today formally requested a eurozone rescue loan of up to $125 billion to recapitalize its ailing banks. Cyprus is also weighing whether to ask for an EU bailout or a loan from Russia or China. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 150 at 12,490. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Carnegie Corporation of New York, a foundation created to do what Andrew Carnegie called real and permanent good, celebrating 100 years of philanthropy.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Lynn Kelly. Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn says today's Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070 is, on balance, a victory for the state. He says having the court uphold the provision allowing police officers to check someone's immigration status during an unlawful stop, detention, or arrest if there's a reasonable suspicion the person is in the country illegally far outweighs the three provisions the high court struck down.
That was the big controversial issue. That was the one that dominated oral argument. You could tell from oral argument that we were going to win that one. The other three we didn't really know because there was very little time at oral argument given to them. So, it wasn't good to lose those, but those were minor, I think, compared to the big controversial issue that we won.
Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn. We'll have more on the court's decision during this one-hour special here on KJZZ. The fires that continue to pop up around Arizona and across other southwestern states may be related to climate change. The National Wildlife Federation says 9 states in the area are struggling with major fires, and Regional Outreach Coordinator David Ellenberger believes it's a sign of things to come.
Reports from climate scientists seem to agree that the future of Intermountain West and the Rockies will be hotter and drier and more similar to 2012 than not. And people are starting to connect dots between these extreme weather patterns that we're seeing out here and climate change.
And Ellenberger says the decision to buy more air tankers, as proposed in a bill signed by President Obama last week, is addressing the symptoms. He sees a continuation of the intense fire seasons we've seen recently, unless the underlying causes are addressed. We should see some showers and thundershowers later today. Mark O'Malley of the National Weather Service in Phoenix says although hotter weather will be back by Wednesday.
Around the 110-degree range, a little bit cooler down in Tucson, only still above 100 degrees. Northern part of the state at higher elevation, with Flagstaff seeing highs in the 80s for the end of the week.
O'Malley says while we have a chance of some precipitation, the storm front moves through today and shouldn't be surprised if some areas get no rain at all.
KJZZ is supported by Chapman BMW on Camelback, celebrating its 10th anniversary. You can see the all-new 3 Series and receive the ultimate ownership experience with financing available through BMW Financial Services. Chapman BMW on Camelback.com.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. This is the Fronteras Desk special coverage of today's Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. The court struck down 3 provisions, one that would make it a state crime for an immigrant not to carry identification papers, another that would allow for warrantless arrests in some situations, and one that would forbid illegal immigrants from working in Arizona. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote the opinion for the 5-3 majority. But one provision was ruled constitutional. It requires a law enforcement officer to make a reasonable attempt to determine the immigration status of someone who has been stopped if there's reasonable suspicion the person is in the country illegally. Over the next 53 minutes, we'll be hearing the perspectives of legal experts, politicians from both sides of the aisle, and even a young dreamer to find out what they expect the impact of today's ruling to be. With me now at KJZZ is Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix College of Law. Stephen, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Steve.
Was the court's ruling consistent when we see that there are 3 provisions that got 5-3 votes, another that did not? Was the overall logic of the ruling consistent?
Well, actually, I think it was. I know the spin doctors are already out there trying to stake out territory, but I think it's pretty clear the court came down very strongly against the major portions of the act and left a small amount of wiggle room for Arizona to act, and that is basically to determine if, to be able to ask questions if someone is reasonably suspiciously here illegally.
There are some who've characterized the provision that will go forward, at least that the court ruled was constitutional, as the most controversial of all. How would you label it?
Well, I think that if you read carefully the language of the opinion, it really actually leaves very, very little room. The court said that it was not appropriate at this time to strike down or to enjoin that provision that allows police officers or mandates police officers to ask questions. In doing so, they said that it hasn't even been yet authoritatively construed by Arizona courts. So presumably once that happens, then it could be challenged again. So this is a very strong message from the Supreme Court saying, we think your law's got all kinds of problems, but this one part that allows your police officers to ask questions is okay. But to the other side of that, though, is even if they're allowed to ask questions, so what? It basically says you can ask questions. If you think you've got somebody here illegally, you can contact ICE, the federal government. Basically, you can call them and fax message that we have them, and they don't have to do anything. The state cannot control what Congress has allowed the federal government to do.
That's Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix School of Law. I'm Steve Goldstein. This is a Fronteras Desk special coverage on the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling today on SB 1070. I'll return to Stephen Gonzalez in just a moment, but joining me now with his perspective on today's Supreme Court ruling is Arizona's 6th District Congressman Jeff Flake. Congressman, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Okay, what's the reaction overall to the ruling today?
Well, it's just it's a mixed bag, very much a mixed bag. The one key provision upheld, but not fully.
and then the other provisions struck down. So a mixed bag.
And where does this put states' rights from your perspective?
Well, I mean, Arizona is just waiting for the federal government to fix a broken border. Arizona is simply trying to pick up the pieces with SB 1070. I think everyone recognizes the state's role with regard to, you know, immigrants coming across the border, our international border. The state's role is limited here, but the federal government seems to think that, you know, it doesn't have to police that border, and then can dictate what Arizona can try to do to remedy the problem. So there's just a lot of frustration, I can tell you, among local leaders here and others in law enforcement along the border, that the federal government just won't step up to its responsibility.
Well, there are going to be some critics who will say that the Supreme Court is letting Congress off the hook with this and not demanding more of them. Is that something the Supreme Court could have, a message they could have sent?
Well, no, I you know, with regard to the president, we've been trying to work, many of us, at immigration reform for quite a while. We just haven't been able to get good cooperation from this administration because we have to have a more secure border before we move on to the other items. I think everyone recognizes that. Certainly those of us who have pushed immigration reform for a while recognize that until we have a more secure border, nobody's going to trust the federal government to move ahead on the other items.
And what does a more secure border mean? How much money? Is there a fence? What does that mean to you?
You know, we actually have a pretty good definition. In the Yuma sector, operational control means essentially that if an illegal immigrant crosses, we have a reasonable expectation of catching them. And we have achieved that in the Yuma sector. That's about 80-some miles of border. The problem is in the Tucson sector, which is, 250-some miles of border, we don't have anything approximating that. And in fact, the Obama administration just weeks ago started to move away from that definition of operational control. So basically saying, if we can't achieve it, let's just move away from the definition. And we can't have that. If we can do in the Tucson sector what we did in the Yuma sector, which involves more of a comprehensive solution on the border itself, involving not just more resources, more manpower, more technology, but swift and sure prosecution of those who come across. That's what worked in the Yuma sector. That's what can work in the Tucson sector if the Obama administration is committed to it.
Congressman Flake, finally, when it comes to the term comprehensive immigration reform, especially in an election year, is that a radioactive term, and how might this ruling today affect that?
Well, it's just not achievable until you have a more secure border. Those of us who have pushed for broad-based immigration reform at the federal level have been down that road, and it's a dead end until we get better border security. And so that's why it's so frustrating that we have the Obama administration, you know, spending time and efforts in the court rather than on the border. And so that's what our push is going to be, is to try to force the administration to actually do what it needs to do in securing the border.
Arizona's 6th District Congressman Jeff Flake. Congressman, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. This is the Fronteras Desk special coverage of today's Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. Joining me again now is Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix School of Law. Stephen, before we get into some more of the legal provisions, the idea of spin has come across quite a bit today. Who won? Who lost? And based on what we're hearing, everybody seems to have won in some sense or other. How do you translate it legally?
Well, I think you have to push those cards off the table if you really want to understand what the court has done here. It's commonplace. You see it, for example, after the State of the Union address every year, for every side, or a debate, for every side to declare victory and to try and put on a brave face. But when you actually look at the text of the opinion, I think it's clear that the Arizona was slapped pretty hard by the Supreme Court. And this is a very conservative Supreme Court to do that.
I want to ask you a little bit, too, because we're going to talk with a reporter from Alabama about other states and what they've done. How does this ruling affect what other states have done so far, what they might try to do when it comes to immigration enforcement?
Well, it certainly sends a message that whenever a state tries to or enacts legislation that covers territory that the Immigration Act already covers or interferes with federal discretion in implementing that act, that it's almost certainly going to get struck down. Of course, I'm just giving you general principles here. when a state tries to some extent, control its own cities and its own police, that's usually going to be okay. For example, in the decision a couple years ago when the Supreme Court upheld employer sanctions for hiring, knowingly hiring illegal immigrants, that was upheld because in that way, the state is regulating its own workforce, its own licensing of businesses, and that's sufficiently on its side of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And what the court here is really worried about is the federal national balance of power, which is something the Supreme Court has been concerned with since day one of the American Republic.
The administration decided to argue preemption in this case. Based on how it turned out, do you think they chose the right argument?
Oh, absolutely. And I certainly felt that way myself from day one. It's a clear question here. The argument of the state has been basically something like this. Well, we're only doing what the federal law does. Well, the weakness in that logic is that then the state could do anything that the federal government doesn't says, well, we're only taking the right to make treaties because the federal government does it, or we're only taking the right to declare war because the federal government does. Clearly, the Supreme Court has said here, immigration is something of a national, of a federal concern that the Constitution gives to Congress, and there is precious little room. There is a little room, but there's precious little for states to act.
In a broader sense, what does this say about the influence of Anthony Kennedy going forward when it comes to issues, not immigration related, but states' rights issues?
You know, for a number of years over at the Phoenix School of Law, I told my students that the Constitution is what Sandra Day O'Connor said it is. Oh. Now I think it's what Justice Kennedy says it is. Although one of the more curious parts here is the joining of Chief Justice Roberts, a very conservative justice, but I think most would say a fair-minded justice, Chief Justice, with the opinion to strike down three of the four major parts. The only part that was upheld is that part which allows or mandates state law enforcement officers to ask if they have reasonable suspicion to ask about the status of somebody here. But there's no teeth in it. What are they going to do? Make a phone call, fax over to the federal government? The federal government says, we don't care, or this isn't our policy right now. There's nothing they can do. So it's going to come down to practice. Are the detainments long enough to violate due process or encroach in federal government? Or is it, if it's just a momentary thing, it would probably be okay in practice.
That's Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix School of Law. We'll come back to Stephen in just a moment. A couple of statements released by the administration, first from Janet Napolitano, director of the Department of Homeland Security, secretary rather, of the Department of Homeland Security. She says the DHS remains focused on enhancing public safety and the integrity of the border by prioritizing enforcement resources on those who are in the country unlawfully. She also says DHS will implement operational enhancements to its programs in Arizona to ensure the agency can remain focused on its priorities. And Attorney General Eric Holder says he welcomes the Supreme Court's decision to strike down major provisions of Arizona's SB 1070 on federal preemption grounds. He says today's ruling appropriately bars the state from effectively criminalizing unlawful status in the state and confirms the federal government's exclusive authority to regulate in the area of immigration. You may remember Janet Napolitano was governor of Arizona not very long ago and vetoed bills that were similar to SB 1070. Here's Mark Brody with a little bit of a history on SB 1070 in Arizona.
The legislature has approved bills dealing with illegal immigration for several years, going back to at least 2005. In 2006, then-Representative Russell Pierce pushed a bill that included provisions dealing with employer sanctions, allowing police officers to question the people they stop about their immigration status, putting radar on the border, and requiring local police departments to enforce federal immigration laws.
It's time to end the tough talk and get serious about this. Arizona's getting tired of rhetoric and tough talk. I want to vote on a comprehensive package that does exactly what they've been asking for.
But then Governor Janet Napolitano vetoed the measure.
I think that bill illustrates that the legislature is still playing politics with immigration, and we need real solutions that work and that make sense.
Those provisions and many others showed up in bills in future years. The legislature and citizens groups have also successfully had several proposals approved by voters over the years, including requiring ID at the polls and limiting eligibility for public services. Mark Brody, KJZZ News.
A little bit of a history of SB 1070 there. This is KJ's ZZ and the Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court's ruling today on SB 1070. With me in studio is Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix School of Law. We'll get some of Stephen's perspectives coming up a little bit later. You're listening to the Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court's ruling, and we'll continue in a moment with several more guests, including Alessandra Soler of the ACLU of Arizona. Also, Andrew Yeager, he's a reporter from WBHM in Birmingham, and Jose Luis Jimenez, who's social media editor with the Fronteras Desk in San Diego. Stay tuned.
KJZZ is supported by Arizona State University, hosting Citizen Clean Elections Commission debates for district primary elections. District 24 debate is Wednesday, June 27th, 5:30 p.m. at ASU's downtown campus. asu.edu/cleanelections.
KJZZ's vehicle donation program makes it easy for you to make a lasting contribution to public radio. The pickup is free, and we take care of all the paperwork. For more details, call 1-877-915-KJZZ.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. You're listening to Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. As you heard earlier in the broadcast, SB 1070 was far from the first proposed state law in Arizona that addressed illegal immigration, but it's certainly been the most high profile. After the bill passed the state legislature in 2010, Governor Brewer at first wouldn't say whether she'd sign it, but it quickly generated widespread debate and protests.
Aquí estamos y no nos vamos.
Can you hear us, Mexico? This land is my land, not your land.
This bill will do absolutely nothing, and I want to stress this, absolutely nothing for the number one issue facing our state in terms of immigration, and that is border security.
Until we have better security at the border, nobody's going to trust the federal government to move ahead on the other issues.
I ran legislation modeled after 1070, all the components of 1070 in 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, and 2010 before we had a governor that would sign it.
The bill I'm about to sign into law, Senate Bill 1070, represents another tool for our state to use as we work to solve a crisis that we did not create and the federal government has refused to fix.
In addition to signing the bill today, the governor also issued an executive order requiring additional training for police officers on how to implement the new law.
The statute says that we are not to rely on race, color, or national origin except to the extent permitted by the United States Constitution or the Arizona Constitution.
Arizona right now is the center of what can happen if immigration reform does not pass quickly.
I lay this all on the footsteps of the federal government. They have a responsibility. It's their job. And if they don't want to stand up and do what's right, then Arizona will.
Although the Supreme Court struck down several key provisions, Republican State Representative John Kavanaugh, one of 1070's co-sponsors, thinks the ruling is still a victory.
The stop and questioning is a great deterrent. You know, we don't want illegal immigrants to think they can come to Arizona and just exist indefinitely. This makes them worried. This makes them look over their shoulder. And that's the whole purpose of the law. If you're breaking the law, you should be looking over your shoulder. We think it's a great deterrent.
Kavanaugh says it's time now for the federal government to fulfill its responsibilities.
We've really done a lot in Arizona. We've taken away benefits. We've secured our electoral system. I think the real focus has to be in getting the federal government to enforce the immigration law. The Obama administration's look-the-other-way policy is the biggest problem now, along with the lack of a secure border. And I think we need a new administration come in next January who will enforce the law, and let's get the feds to come in and give us the kind of secure fencing that has reduced the problem in California.
That's Republican State Representative John Kavanaugh earlier today. Democratic legislator Steve Gallardo spoke at a press conference today and did not agree with what Kavanaugh had to say.
This morning, the U.S. Supreme Court sent a loud message to the governor and members of the legislature that you have overstepped your bounds. You have gone too far when it comes to try to deal with illegal immigration in Arizona. That immigration is a federal issue and has to be dealt on the federal level.
Democratic state lawmaker Steve Gallardo. Cochise County Sheriff Larry Deaver has been a supporter of SB 1070. He says he doesn't think this morning's Supreme Court decision will have much impact on the way his department enforces the law.
And I don't see this making a big difference. We have the luxury where we are of having a ton of Border Patrol agents. But when we encounter illegals, we determine that they likely are or that they are, we turn them over to Border Patrol so we don't have the housing costs, we don't have a lot of processing costs. That will be different in the interior of the state, where they don't have that asset, and where ICE has the responsibility for detention, deportation, transportation, and they have more limited resource. So it could put a little more pressure on the county jails in the interior of the state, but you're just not going to see a wholesale change in policy. Everybody's saying, well, you guys are going to go out now and start hunting illegals? No, you know, we're not doing it now, and why should we start? With this, it's we have other things we need to be doing as well. But when the encounter is there and we meet the right criteria, then action is expected to be taken. How does border enforcement work? We're out doing our job. If we get reports of suspicious activity, if we get reports of criminal activity, we encounter people, we determine that they're here illegally, they've crossed the border. And somebody said, well, how can you do that? We ask them and they tell us. Yeah, and in the world of probable cause, that works. Yeah, that's close enough. So it's not hard in our environment. We don't have a large resident population of illegal aliens in Cochise County. We're a gateway, a fountainhead sometimes, you know, floodgate. But there's nothing to hold them there. They're just trying to get through. When you get in Tucson and Phoenix and larger markets, Prescott, you have a different situation.
Cochise County Sheriff Larry Deaver added that if the law is implemented, he would expect reduced illegal immigration traffic through Cochise County and into Arizona. From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. This is for the Fronteras Desk special coverage of today's Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. Governor Jan Brewer, who signed SB 1070 into law, spoke today.
We cannot forget that we are here today because the federal government has failed the American people regarding immigration policy, has failed to protect its citizens, has failed to preserve the rule of law, and has failed to secure our borders.
That's Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. Covering that press conference for us today was KJZZ government and politics reporter Mark Brody. Mark joins me by phone. Mark, thanks for being with me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So the governor's reaction beyond that news clip we just heard, how did she see him?
Well, she basically called this a good day for Arizona, saying that the provision that was upheld is the heart of SB 1070. This is a line that a lot of supporters have been using during the day today, that the heart of the law was upheld, and that means that Arizona can go ahead and really enforce the most important provision of SB 1070.
I don't want to ask you to be a therapist here, but did it seem as if she was acting, or did it seem as if she truly felt like what she was saying?
You know, that's a really tough question. I mean, the press conference was very, very short. It was less than, I think, 10 minutes or so compared to the news conference she had when the president a couple weeks ago announced his sort of modified Dream Act, which was much more expansive. You know, she kind of stuck to the talking point. She used the phrase heart of SB 1070 more than a couple of times. But, you know, beyond sort of getting into her head, I know that she outwardly appeared to be pleased with the ruling.
Any chance to check the buzz of what's going on at the Capitol today? Was there a feeling in any way that some people, again, were happier? We heard from Steve Gallardo earlier. Is there a feeling that this truly changes something, and that even to some extent, all the effort that went through into signing SB 1070, Russell Pierce pushing it through, any feeling that was for naught?
I have not heard any of that. In fact, pretty much everybody with whom I've spoken has claimed victory out of this ruling. We heard, as you heard from Steve Gallardo and a number of other critics of SB 1070, basically saying that the court has told Arizona, you've gone too far, you can't do this. The federal government is responsible for immigration and enforcing immigration laws and setting immigration policy. And, you know, you hear from the governor saying, you know, the court told us that what we did was okay. It's the interesting thing that I've seen down here. There's a lot of folks down here The earlier press conference with Senator Gallardo and Mary Rose Wilcox, county supervisor, and many others was very well attended. The news conference with Governor Brewer, I don't think I've ever seen quite as many people in that conference room as I did this morning. Everybody's claiming victory, and everybody seems like they are the ones who has won.
Mark, finally, you'll be covering a news conference in a moment, I believe, with House Speaker Andy Tobin, also Senate President Steve Pearce. Do you anticipate them saying anything different from what the governor said?
You know, not really. You know, when I spoke with, State Representative Kavanaugh earlier this morning, he basically said the same thing. You know, this is the heart of the law. You know, we're going to be able to enforce what we want to be able to enforce. You might hear some cheering behind me now. The Republican press conference with Majority Leader Andy Biggs and some others has begun. They're sort of encircled by folks with American flags and Arizona flags. The talking point seems fairly similar with, pretty much everybody claiming victory, depending on, you know, which provisions you think are the most important ones.
Mark Brody, KJZZ government and politics reporter, joining us from the state capitol in Phoenix. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
And joining me now is Jose Luis Jimenez. He's the social media editor with the Fronteras desk in San Diego. Jose, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And what are you seeing as far as the buzz goes, whether it comes to Facebook or Twitter, when it comes to the ruling on SB 1070?
Yeah, starting from 7 o'clock this morning when the decision came down, there's been lots of reaction on Twitter. Students are saying they're discussing it in their classrooms. Other people are saying they're discussing it at work. And obviously a lot of the reaction is coming from the heart of it in Arizona. Some people, for example, Joe Velardo from Eloy, Arizona, who describes himself as a proud Marine, says he's all for the law, and he says it's the law that we need to secure our borders, while others are concerned now that they will be targeted by the police just because of the look. Jandy Esperanza from Douglas, Arizona, basically says that she's concerned now that every time she goes out, she's going to have to show her citizenship, prove her citizenship.
And how much of an impact do you think social media has when it comes to such a serious, emotional, controversial issue like this?
Well, first of all, it's kind of a way for people to vent, and also it's also a way for people to organize. Another thing that we're seeing now on social media is kind of another boycott of Arizona. Once something that we saw once SB 1070 passed. Carmen from Arizona says basically, if Latinos are united, they will never be defeated, and is calling for a boycott of Arizona, while other people are calling for basically, if you do get pulled over under SB 1070, to file some sort of complaint, to file a lawsuit, to make it a legal issue, to try and strike down this last provision of the law.
Jose, finally, any reason this could impact San Diego, Southern California in any way, this ruling, as far as anything that politicians or elected officials in that area were thinking about trying?
Well, some people are saying on social media that they are concerned that it will come over to their state because the Supreme Court did leave open that possibility for police officers to be able to check the paperwork of some people. So we are seeing some of that concern in social media. Obviously, it's kind of a decision that will be up to the legislature and the courts to decide.
Jose Luis Jimenez, social media editor with the Fronteras Desk in San Diego. Jose, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court's ruling on SB 1070. We'll continue in a moment with, among others, Alessandra Soler of the ACLU. Stay tuned.
Taking a quick look at the forecast, there is a chance of some monsoon storms in the valley for today through tomorrow. It'll be partly sunny today with a 20% chance of showers. We're looking for a high around 106. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers with lows in the upper 80s. Partly sunny skies tomorrow, 10% chance of showers may be expected, but will be warm. It'll be a high of 109. Currently, Flagstaff, mostly sunny skies, breezy, 78 degrees. Tucson, mostly sunny and 94. While here in Phoenix, we have mostly sunny skies, 98 degrees is our current temperature.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein, and you're listening to Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. We've heard a number of perspectives, including from Steve Gonzalez of the Phoenix College of Law, Representative Jeff Flake, a Republican representative from Arizona's 6th District. And now we turn to Lilia Vasquez, an immigration attorney from San Diego. Ms. Vasquez, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Lilia Velasquez, thank you very much.
Velasquez, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Give us an idea of your perspective, where this ruling, as far as racial profiling, fits in.
I think that all of us immigration rights advocates were bracing ourselves for this type of decision. I mean, we just by listening to the arguments at the Supreme Court, we saw that the judges were leaning towards allowing Arizona to police to check the papers of people suspected of being undocumented. Clearly, the decision today has sent waves of concern across not just the Arizona community, which now has become a community under siege, but also the San Diego community, because we feel that what has happened in Arizona clearly is going to probably be duplicated in California, if not today, later on, along with some other states. People have called me in the past asking me if it was okay for their children to go to school. They asked me whether, if this was approved, could the children also be detained for being, you know, for being suspected of being in the country without documents? If they are a victim of a crime, is it okay to call the police, or would they be arrested? Mm-hmm. In which case, then they will remain silent. What I'm hoping is that, as bad as the news are today, that this is going to galvanize the immigrant community, the civil rights leaders, to pressure the Congress to implement and to pass comprehensive immigration reform. Because if that happens, then Arizona is not going to have to arrest a lot of those people who hopefully will be able to benefit and become legalized.
I want to come back to what you had to say about potential relationship between law enforcement officers and those in the immigrant community. There are many law enforcement officers who've expressed that concern as well, saying if there's a crime committed, are there going to be people in the immigrant community who are afraid to come forward? Are there provisions you think that could be in place that could make that impossible? And I'm also wondering, there are some who are saying that 3 out of 4 provisions were struck down, and yet you're saying that the one that is being kept in is extremely powerful and thus is just as negative as if perhaps all 4 had been approved.
I think that the one that was approved was the most egregious for the immigrant community. And absolutely, we have under our immigration system protections for victims of domestic violence, protection for victims of violent crimes. And actually, those protections will be turned on its head if indeed people are arrested because they're victims because they happen to be undocumented. Now, in terms of how can this be stopped, we need to reach out to the community. We need to tell victims that it is okay to call the police, to call an attorney, to get advice, but not to be intimidated for fear of being arrested. What I'm hoping that will happen is that if somebody in Arizona, a police officer, were to detain someone because they suspect us in the country illegally and they could not show their legal papers, that individual will then be turned over to the Immigration Service. And it is up to DHS and ICE officers or Border Patrol to then determine if that person either qualifies under the prosecutorial discretion policy or under deferred status, which is recently announced by President Obama, or whether they're victims of crime that are protected and they do qualify for a U visa. So, you know, luckily in this situation, the federal government doesn't go away. DHS will be alive and well and will be receiving, you know, whether it's dozens or hundreds or thousands of people who may be arrested in Arizona by state local police.
Ms. Velasquez, finally, this may be the minority opinion, but I did hear a Tucson defense attorney, immigration attorney, speaking this weekend, who said that he thought SB 1070 was a terrible thing. But he also said that in some ways this may, in fact, define things more clearly when it comes to racial profiling. So if people do feel racially profiled, they will have a better chance to act in the future.
I wish that was the case. I have been practicing for 30 years. People are abused. I have been abused for decades. And the reason for that is that the government knows that they can get away with it, whether it's racist Border Patrol agencies or ICE officers. Few people have the courage to come forward and file a complaint. And second, many times it's not possible because they have already been removed. So in theory, I think that you're really looking at isolated incidents, perhaps somebody who is educated and said, I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to file a civil rights complaint and take it all the way, you know, up to the courts. But by and large, I think that the immigrant community will remain passive and silent unless we really organize them and encourage them to report abuse.
Lilia Velasquez, immigration attorney from San Diego. Ms. Velasquez, thank you so much.
Thank you.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. This is Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. Arizona's SB 1070 led to many other laws being passed in several other states around the country. For a perspective on Alabama, we turn to Andrew Yeager, who's a reporter from WBHM in Birmingham. Andrew, thanks for being with me.
Good to be with you.
Give us a little bit, if you could, let's say the Cliff Notes version of what Alabama's law is.
Alabama's law is very similar to Arizona's law. You could consider them siblings or cousins, certainly close relatives. But Alabama's law goes a little bit further than what Arizona did. Some of the key provisions that are included in Alabama's law were ones that required schools to check the immigration status of the students they were enrolling. They also, there was language about government, public contracts or contact with government entities. So that included things like paying your water bill, getting tags for your car, you know, any sort of interaction you might have with a government office. The law declared that you had to prove citizenship to do that. So it was, in many ways, went further than what Arizona did. And the sponsors of the law here said they were trying to affect basically every aspect of an illegal immigrant's life here in Alabama.
And how closely were people watching the ruling today, and what has reaction been?
People here were watching very, very closely the ruling. There's been legal action against Alabama's law, Georgia, South Carolina as well, and that law has been argued before the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, but they have not ruled pending today's ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court. So just the initial reaction so far, you know, opponents of the law have been generally pleased. They say that this is a major strike against Arizona's law and therefore also doesn't bode well for Alabama as it tries to tell the courts that this law is perfectly constitutional. I spoke with the sponsor of the law here in Alabama just a little earlier this afternoon. He called it a mixed ruling. He was pleased that the court upheld the provision that would allow police to check the immigration status of people who were stopped for some other offense. But he also felt that the ruling was ambiguous, so he didn't feel like it offered much clarity. And he claims that as the courts review Alabama's law and other states' immigration laws, that Alabama's could go sailing through, or it could meet the same fate as Arizona's. He called it very much a mixed ruling.
Andrew, set the stage for us a bit when it comes to looking at the illegal immigration situation in Alabama, because for many people in Arizona, obviously we're a border state, we're close to the Mexican border, and illegal immigration is obviously not completely affixed to Mexico, although many people seem to look at it that way. In Alabama, was this a reaction to this is what many people in the state legislature wanted it to be and wanted to appear tough, or is there truly a problem with illegal immigration in Alabama?
Well, that was one of the big debates and one of the things that opponents of the law would bring out frequently. Alabama has a very low Hispanic population, somewhere in the range of 4-5%. It has a very low foreign-born population. There just aren't very many people, relatively speaking, in the state of Alabama who were born elsewhere. So Alabama certainly hasn't seen the kind of immigration issues that Arizona and other western states have. There are certainly pockets, some agriculture areas. There are some poultry plants where that have a lot of Hispanic workforce and likely illegal immigrant workforce. So there are pockets, in the state where immigration may be a very, very important issue for those communities. But statewide, it's not particularly a big issue. And after Arizona's law was passed, there were a number of police chiefs around the state that said, this really isn't a top enforcement priority for me. We have much bigger fish to fry, as it were. Mm-hmm. So for opponents of the law, they definitely see this as something that a particular group of Republicans in the state legislature wanted to happen, pushed it through. And Alabama is generally a conservative state, so whether it is, whether there truly was a groundswell for this, it's certainly a climate that's right politically for this kind of policy out of the state capital.
Andrew Yeager, reporter from WBHM in Birmingham on Alabama's immigration enforcement law. Andrew, thanks so much.
Thank you.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. You're listening to a Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court ruling today on SB 1070. And for a couple of more minutes, I return to Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix School of Law. Stephen, let's look a little bit at the politics of comprehensive reform when it comes to deciding what happens. We heard from Congressman Flake earlier today. Always seems to be an excuse as to why things don't get done. From a legal perspective, how complicated is this? We know how complicated it is emotionally and even from a legislative standpoint. So legally, how complicated?
Well, I think you have to analyze it simply yet carefully. The proponents of legislation like SB 1070 have repeatedly lamented the lack of action by the federal government. But the reality is that Congress has not acted because it's deadlocked. There's a political polarization between the left and the right. Mm-hmm. And until that becomes more unified or a clear majority in both houses is obtained, it's going to stay that way. And I would say that it has been the Republicans that have stood in the way in the last few years of any comprehensive reform. So we have the situation of the people who are stopping the reform claiming, well, nothing's being done. Well, that's a little bit like the thief calling beware of the thief. Now, to be fair, there's a lot of reasonable room here in between, and I don't mean to say that everybody is corrupted somehow here. There's a lot of fear. The 2010 election, I think, really polarized things even more. So until that, the country becomes more unified, and then Congress reflects that, there's not going to be any movement. And it's just disingenuous, if not deceptive, to keep saying, well, Congress isn't doing its job when you're part of the reason why it's not doing the job.
It seems like both parties are able to do that at any point on any issue, if one would blame the other. But I do want to come back to the legal aspect of things and the complexity of what it comes down to. You've never been a member of Congress. As far as I know, you've never worked for a congressman. But I'm curious as to how many lawyers it would take to put together a bill that, in fact, is comprehensive, that includes border security, perhaps a guest worker program, perhaps finding citizenship for those who are already in the country?
Well, I think a lot of the work has already been done. I don't think it would be that much work. There are several bills that have been out there over the last few years, and in fact, one obtained 55 votes in the Senate just a few years ago, including substantial Republican support. So I don't think it's a drafting problem, really. It's more of a problem of political will. And particularly in an election year, it's not going to change. People are retreated to their corners, and it's kind of a pox on both your houses. I don't mean to point to just one direction. I actually think there's plenty of blame to go around here. But I do want to point out that the reason why Congress hasn't moved is because why the federal government hasn't done anything is because of the split. And finally, the president, and with, I think, a clearly constitutional executive discretion, whether or not it was a good idea, I don't know, but had, in my opinion, complete constitutional authority to act. And we saw that with the Dreamer movement last week.
Stephen Gonzalez of the Phoenix School of Law. Stephen, thanks so much for your contributions this morning. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the Fronteras Desk special coverage of the Supreme Court's ruling on SB 1070. We'll continue in a moment with Alessandra Soler of the Arizona ACLU and more. Stay tuned.
KJZZ is supported by The Persian Room. Slow-grilled skewers with prime cuts of meat and fresh vegetables, home-baked clay oven bread, fine wines. The Persian Room on Scottsdale Road, one light north of Bell, 480-614-1414.
From KJZZ News in Phoenix, I'm Steve Goldstein. You're listening to Frontera's Desk, special coverage of the Supreme Court ruling today on SB 1070. Joining me now with her reaction is Alessandra Soler, the executive director of the ACLU of Arizona. Alessandra, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to get your reaction to the possibility of racial profiling and whether the rulings today affects that in your mind at all.
Well, I think what the court basically really set us up and to be in a very good position, at least from the ACLU's perspective, to come back and document the harms in terms of racial profiling. You know, what the court basically did was, you know, we said we don't have enough evidence at this point to justify, you know, enjoining this provision, a 2B, so we're going to let you all sort it out. And I think it's extremely problematic. I mean, the decision does put the rights of all Arizonans at serious jeopardy, but at least now we're in a very good position to provide these concrete examples of racial profiling because we know it's been happening here in Arizona.
Well, I want to ask you the same thing I asked Leah Velasquez a few minutes ago related to, again, this one immigration attorney I heard from Tucson who said,
right.
I hate SB 1070, it's terrible, but maybe this will be clearer at least when it comes to racial profiling.
Well, a couple of things. I mean, we in Arizona, we have certainly in Maricopa County, have a very, very long history of engaging in racial profiling. We have two of the largest police departments. The Department of Public Safety had been sued for racial profiling by the ACLU, and we currently have a lawsuit against Maricopa County Sheriff Arpaio for engaging in the same types of tactics that are now mandated by SB 1070 and 2B. But it is, as Lilia correctly said, it's very difficult because people, people are, they are terrified. Many times a stop is inherently, it's an intimidating situation. It's very, very difficult to document it. And that's certainly going to be our job and our focus going to be moving forward is to provide those examples of U.S. citizens, legal permanent residents who are being disproportionately targeted.
A news conference is scheduled for about 40 minutes from now with the new Phoenix police chief, and I don't know if you've had a chance to talk with him yet. How important is it that he set a certain tone that the immigrant community is comfortable with?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, the reality is that the Phoenix Police Department in October of 2010, just months after SB 1070 was enjoined, actually changed their policy to give them more power to question victims of domestic violence and so crime victims. And so this is it puts the police department in a very difficult situation because here they are trying to develop trust with the community, trying to improve the relationship between the Phoenix PD and his position now of leadership. That's, I'm sure, very, very important. But now, it's like a catch-22 for him because his hands are tied. He is mandated by this law to now stop and question anyone that they believe is here unlawfully, which makes their job even much more difficult.
Let's come back specifically to today's Supreme Court ruling.
Sure.
The fact that the Obama administration decided to go with the preemption argument, the fact that right. The federal law would trump state law. I know that the ACLU has some other things coming forward, but before that, were you disappointed that that was the tack they decided to take when it doesn't have as much to do with what's going on the ground here and communities that are affected?
Right. I mean, I think the federal government certainly is in the best position to argue the preemption argument. I mean, they are the entity. Congress has delegated the immigration enforcement responsibilities to the federal government. So of all the entities, they're in the best position to argue that. But I think that you know, we know what's going on the ground here in Arizona. And the court's decision today, I think, really demonstrates that they are really out of touch with the reality on the ground in Arizona. Because we know we have clients, for example, in our case, who are U.S. citizens, who now have to carry their passports everywhere they go because they are terrified of being subjected to this type of scrutiny.
Well, how difficult does that make it going forward when you have a court that you say is out of touch? Does that make you pessimistic going forward? And were you surprised by today's ruling, even if the one provision?
No, I think we certainly weren't surprised given the tenor of the arguments. I think there were I think we are in a very good position moving forward. The court said you all are going to have to sort it out. We didn't have enough evidence to justify blocking 2B, and now come back to the courts and give us that evidence and show us that evidence. And so that's exactly what we're going to do, which is why it's so important for people to report abuses.
And what's next for the ACLU when it comes to SB 1070?
Well, we're going to continue. We have our case is before Judge Bolton, and we have asked Judge Bolton to certify that case as a class action. We have 24 plaintiffs. We are going to continue, building that case and providing, documenting the harms both for the court and for the public.
Nearly a million people were potentially affected by President Obama's decision last week to issue the executive order related to the Dreamers.
Right.
Actually, the week before, sorry, the Friday previous. So going forward, are you concerned that those who are Dreamers could then be affected by
SB 1070?
Yes.
That's a great question, Steve, because this is a perfect example, is that this is why it demonstrates just how complicated federal immigration law is that you have a group of people, almost a million young adults in Arizona, it's what, 70 or 80,000, who now are in sort of this temporary status. They have the authority, the president has said that they now have the authority to be here. Mm-hmm. But if those young adults come into contact with a police officer, they won't have adequate documentation, at least until they get those work permits. And so they're in limbo, and that's another example of why SB 1070 is a failed experiment and why it's very difficult for police officers to enforce it without engaging in profiling.
Well, and finally, based on what you've seen, is the ACLU most concerned that younger people who may be seen as illegal immigrants, or is this not blocked by generations? Is it just if there's racial profiling, it doesn't matter what age you are, regardless?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to affect people of color of all ages. And I think, many people can go for their entire lifetimes without coming into contact with police. I mean, we know historically that men of color between the ages of, 18 and 24 are going to be subjected to greater scrutiny. So I think there's a certain concern there. But, this is going to affect all kinds of people and all kinds of people of color, not just Latinos. I mean, in our particular case, we have Haitian earthquake victims who are here lawfully but who don't have papers, South Asian victims of domestic violence, legal permanent residents who have maybe have a green card but typically don't carry it around with them, who have accents. If they're driving don't have that documentation, they're going to be asked to prove their citizenship.
Executive Director of the ACLU of Arizona, Alessandra Soler, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We spoke with a 29-year-old college graduate from Arizona State University today. His name is Mark. He came to the country illegally when he was a small child, and he's still worried enough in Arizona not to give his last name. Mark says today's ruling was a loss for the immigrant community, but he says President Obama's decision a few days ago not to deport young illegal immigrants is far more important to him than the Supreme Court's decision on 1070.
What Obama did was amazing. I mean, it was like a freaking blessing. Like, it was amazing because now I'll be able to work, right? I'll be able to apply. With that, I'll be given like a 2-year work permit card, so I'll be able to apply for any job, and I'll have a little bit of, I'll have the security that I won't be deported, obviously. Obama's change in policy will supersede, anything that SB 1070 can do.
Meanwhile, the state's DREAM Act coalition says young immigrants may be immune from the ruling on 1070, but the families and friends of those immigrants are still at risk. This has been the KJZZ and Fronteras Desk special coverage of today's Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070. As a reminder, the court struck down three provisions, one that would make it a state crime for an immigrant not to carry identification papers, another that would allow for warrantless arrests in some situations, and one that would forbid illegal immigrants from working in Arizona. One provision was ruled constitutional. It requires a law enforcement officer to make a reasonable attempt to determine the immigration status of someone who has been stopped if there's reasonable suspicion the person is in the country illegally. If you'd like to find out more about the ruling on SB 1070 and hear some of our coverage from today, please go to the Fronteras Desk, fronterasdesk.org. I'm Steve Goldstein. Thanks very much for listening to this special report.